Cinco de Mayo, which is what? May 5th, which is a celebration. I didn't really know much of Cinco de Mayo, right? Jacqueline is also Jacqueline's birthday. So when she was born, we were like, oh, she's born on Cinco de Mayo. I'm like, and what is that? So, there's a squirrel running out there. Sorry. I feel like that movie, Squirrel? Whatever movie that was. But, so Cinco de Mayo, it's basically a Mexican, holiday that evidently more Americans celebrate than the country of Mexico. Because it was for some independence from France or, a battle that took place and it really didn't become popular till the 1980s. And when you start reading about it, they say it really became popular because, all the alcohol companies really started to promote this holiday, for drinking. They wanted more beer sales, I guess, that's really how it, so in Mexico, they really don't even celebrate it, but in the United States, we've all been marketed to, so everyone celebrates it. But, so that's Cinco de Mayo. A victory over the French Empire in 1862 is what it's based from. Why did the mulch go to therapy? It had deep-rooted issues. The mulch had deep-rooted issues. Oh. Well, yeah. Okay, don't forget my signs back there. You get some good ones and some bad ones, but I know in my mind, they're all good, right? They're all good. What do dogs and mulch have in common? They both love the bark. Yeah. That's another good one. I was trying to get some good ones. It was pretty slack. When is the best time to buy a trampoline? Springtime. Yep. So go out and get your trampolines and actually Joanne told me one this morning. So this is a Joanne joke. This is probably the best one out of it because she got it from her granddaughter, right, Joanne? Your granddaughter took what? Your grandson? Was that one of them that I met last week? Okay. So I want to get this right because I just heard it. Why did the bee return to go back to the house? Why did the bee return home? He forgot his yellow jacket. That's been good for spring, huh? So that's the best one. All right, so the best jokes today, Joanne gets my $5 because that was her joke. So last week, we jumped in, started reviewing and going back, and what we talked about is Israel, right? We talked about Jacob, Israel, how that kind of took place, where that stemmed from, and with everything going on within the country, all the anti-Israel and all the stuff that we're seeing within college campuses, to step back and just look at Israel. So that's what we started last week. And we ended last week with the concept and the theology that we're looking at today of the replacement theology. That's kind of where we ended it last week, of the replacement theology, where a lot of churches today are teaching that Israel is no longer the chosen people, but it's the church that is the chosen people, and Israel is not really important anymore. It's the church. And that's what a lot of churches, well, not a lot, but churches are out there teaching that, and that's nothing new. It's been going on. But we're going to be looking at that today, because what we do know is Satan, right? Once again, his standard plan. Satan's standard plan is anything that's good, anything that God loves, then Satan is trying to destroy it. That's if it's a church, that starts strong, that starts preaches the gospel, that's preaching correct doctrine, that's reaching lost people, that people are getting baptized. We see attacks on those churches, right? And we see filtration of bad theology. We see a lot of things taking place within our country because, like, once again, our country started off as a godly nation, moving towards as a nation to promote the good for human beings, but also we really promoted Christ and God, as we see in all our documents of American history. But anything good, Satan's trying to destroy and brings in the deception, brings in all sorts of things that we know what the Bible talks about as not being good for people, and talks about sin and talks about everything else, and that's what we see Satan pushing. So we see that now with anti-Israel, what's going on. So to cause doubt, causes confusion, really to stem back from the Israeli people, which once again, we'll start off on that. So let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Lord, help us to understand more clearly and understand the spot Israel has in your time frame, in your world, Lord, how you see things, because we are just human and we see things so different than you. Help us to understand the placement of Israel. Help us to understand better our placement within your love and the grace that you have given us and the salvation you have given us. Help us to understand that better and help us to speak your gospel clearly to other people. In your name we pray, amen. So this morning, it's part two of Jacob, Israel. Israel, Jacob. That's what we started last week. So Jacob is named Israel, right? And we looked at that last week. And then now this week, we're looking at how does the church fit into that plan, right? How does the church, if Israel is the chosen people, the chosen nation, the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob slash, now his new name was Israel. That's where we're starting today, and we're looking at Romans. I was trying to get through Romans, all Romans 11. I think we'll probably only get through 16, but let's start there. So Romans 11, chapter 11, starting in verse 1. Once again, we're looking at the replacement theology that says God is done with Israel and the church is now the chosen people, that Israel's done away with, and that the church is now taking that spot. That's what we're looking at. Romans 11, verse 1. Paul is speaking. And usually I'll read through this, and then we'll kind of jump back around to it. So I'm going to do that same thing. I asked them, this is Paul speaking, I asked them, did God reject his people? By no means. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. God did not reject his people whom he foreknew. Don't you know what the scripture says in the passage about Elijah? Now he appealed to God against Israel. Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I am the only one left and they are trying to kill me. And what was God's answer to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer by works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. What then? What Israel sought to earnestly, it did not obtain. But the elect did. The others were hardened, as it is written. God gave them a spirit of stupor. So God gave them a spirit of stupor. Eyes so they could not see, and ears so they could not hear. to this very day. And David says, may their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a retribution for them. May their eyes be darkened so they cannot see and their backs be bent forever. Again, I asked, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgressions, talking of Israel, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. But if their transgression means riches for the world and their loss means riches for the Gentiles, how much greater riches will their fullness bring? I am talking to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles. I make much of my ministry in hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and save some of them. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life for the dead? If the part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. And we're going to stop there at 16 before we get into the whole grafting thing of branches. So these questions are asked. We see these questions right away. Question number one, did God reject his people? That's kind of what we're looking at with this theology. That did God reject his people? Pretty good question, right? And Paul comes right, and this is Paul. So Paul's kind of laying it out there right away and saying, guys, listen, I'm an Israelite. I'm an Israelite above all Israelites. I'm a descendant from Abraham. He tracks his lineage. He knows where he came from. He goes, I'm a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob, which was Israel, because he was from the tribe of Benjamin, which was a son of who? Son of Jacob, a son of Israel. So Paul's saying, I am an Israelite. Not just a Jew, not just a Hebrew, but I am an Israelite. I am from one of the 12 tribes. I'm an Israelite. And when the Israelite people were complaining and all this stuff going on, and what we find is Paul saying, guys, the Israelite people are still the chosen people. They're still the chosen people. Paul tells his birth and talks of this, and that Israel, almost what we find is Israel, as you look at Israel, because remember what the word Israel means. Jacob, his name was changed to Israel. That name means he will rule as God. So Israel, he will rule as God is what that means. And Paul's saying, I am from that descendant. I am from the tribe of Benjamin that goes back. So I am a full Israelite. They say, so are we rejected? Has the Israeli people, the nation, have they been rejected? That's the question. You look at verse 2. God did not reject his people whom he foreknew. And then he goes into this. Don't you know what the scripture says in the passage about Elijah? Elijah, when you look at the passage of what Elijah says, Elijah was crying out against who? Against Israel. You would think that would be different, wouldn't you? But it's not. He's crying out. Why was he crying out? And actually, you can see that whole thing in 1 Kings. Going back to when that actually happened, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 10, we'll start. Elijah was, I'll start verse 10. Because God, the Lord came to Elijah and said, what are you doing? And he replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death. So this just wasn't Arabs. This just wasn't other nations within the region. This was Israelites. Israelites, his own people, were persecuting him. Elijah at the time, He said, I am the only one left, the only one left. So Elijah looks out and sees himself. All the Israelites have left him. All the Israelites have broken the covenant. They don't care anymore. And Elijah's standing there by himself as the lone Israelite. And he's saying, Lord, destroy these people. Destroy these people. Because he said, because now they're trying to kill me. In verse 10. And he says it again in verse 14. Same thing. The Lord said, what are you doing? And he replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me. Once again, he's talking about his own people, the Israelite people. And then God in verse 18 says this, yet I reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and all whose mouth have not kissed him. That's what Paul's referring to back in Kings. So now he's telling the people in what we see in Romans, guys, Israel is not done. Even Elijah looked out and said, guys, Lord, take these Israelites, kill these people, because they turned their back on you. They broke your covenant. They don't care about Abraham. They don't care about Isaac. They don't care about Jacob. They don't care. They've changed, they've turned, and they're following wickedness and all turned over to altars and to serve Baal and all the stuff that was happening within in that time frame of worshiping other idols and gods. And Paul's saying now, God, look what God said. He said, guys, God, you might think you're alone. You might think you're standing by yourself. Just like Elijah did. He thought he was the only guy standing, the last prophet standing, the last Israeli standing. And God said, nope, I have 7,000 more. 7,000, God answered in verse 4, Romans 11:4. And what was God's answer to Elijah? I have reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Verse 5, so too at the present time there is a remnant chosen by grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer by works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. Today, God, just like then, he's saying, guys, no, there's a remnant. Israel has a remnant. It's, do we know what a remnant is? A remnant is like a residue, right? So if you look at, of course, I'm going to the food business because that's where I'm at. You think about residue. I thought about whey. You know what whey is? So whey is like the byproduct of making cheese. So they make cheese and then you get this, and you can see it sometimes in the dairy store. You see milk and stuff kind of separates, and there's this clear liquid that's called whey. It's a whey off, and then they dry it and they make a powder. So they have this whey. It's a byproduct. So you have all this milk, right? We have all this milk, and everybody wants the milk. And then there's this byproduct. It's a lot smaller. It's not as big as the huge amounts of milk in the United States or the world, because there's so much milk. But then you get down to the smaller byproduct, which is whey. A byproduct, it's a residue. Or you look at molasses, same thing. Sugar, huge industry, right? And sugar's a good thing. Some people say, oh, sugar's bad for you. I always say, hey, sugar's natural. It came from a cane. It's good for you. So, but sugar, they hack the sugar off. They cut it apart. They crush it and they start to boil it and they get molasses. Molasses is good because I love shoe fly pie, right? So other parts of the country, they don't have shoe fly pie, but here in our area, we have shoe fly pie and get molasses. So that molasses is a byproduct. It's a residue. It's a remnant. It's part of something bigger, right? And that's what we're looking at here. The remnant of Israel. Israel, the Jewish people, is much bigger, but then there's this remnant, this residue. And God said, guys, Israel's not done. There's seven, I've reserved, I have a remnant. There's a residue of 7,000 Israelis that have not bowed, that have not kissed the idols. They have not wavered from the covenant. That's what God says, and that's what Paul is reminding the people. So yeah, that's what he answered. So at the present time, you know, even now, you think of the remnants. You think of actually, we talked about this yesterday to some extent when all the kids were in the house. But this past week, you know, because we're watching all the news articles, right? Everyone's watching the news. I like to watch news. And then there's these students. These students in North Carolina, Chapel Hill, that stood there when the flag, the American flag, was trying to be taken down again. And these this fraternity came in and they said, no way. You're not doing this to our flag. And what did they do? They grabbed the flag and they defended the flag. They're like, no. And they stood up for a flag. Which, because it symbolized what? Our nation. It symbolized our freedom. Everything that people have fought for and worked so hard for in this country. Even for the people that are protesting, right? Because that's their right. The United States, that flag symbolizes all that, both good and bad, and things we don't agree with or agree with, but it's all there for that freedom to speak that, right? So these guys go out and they grab that flag. That made me think of, that's kind of like a residue here. Because what we see, how many times do we hear about it on college campuses? All these colleges are going woke. All these kids are so brainwashed. All these kids have a problem. They don't send your kids to college. That's what we hear. But yet look, you see a group of students. A remnant of something that they know, like, no, this is, we need to do this. And they step out and they hold true to what the flag stands for, right? What the meaning is there. And we forget about that. There's people out there, and that's what Elijah was, kind of the same way. There's people out there. He wasn't standing by himself. Verse 6 through 8, Paul kind of breaks this down. So so at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. Chosen by grace. Because Israel, from the get-go, was chosen by what? Chosen by the patriarchs of the Israeli people by their faith. Now they're chosen by grace, because being from a line of Abraham doesn't save the Israeli people, does it? Just like Paul knew, he wasn't saved because he was an Israelite. Now he's saved because of God's grace. And that's where the change takes place. So this change now is all salvation through Christ. That's where that change takes place. It doesn't mean that Israel is not important. It doesn't mean that at all. Israel, if we like it or not, is still the chosen people. Why? We can see what Scripture says. Like, we know that Abraham was honored for his faith, and that's where it stemmed from. But why did God choose that, them? That's God's call. But I know that they are the chosen people, and they're still the chosen people. That doesn't mean they're all going to heaven, does it? No, because there's still salvation through grace, through Jesus Christ. Verse 7, what then? What Israel sought, and this happened, what Israel sought so earnestly, it did not obtain, but the elect did. So Israel was really bunkering down on, we are the Israelites, we are the chosen people, we are the best. And that's kind of what they were thinking all like through history. We're the chosen people of God. So we're the best. You can't touch us. We think about that, right? I mean, even when they crossed over and attacked Jericho, the people were scared. So they have this history, this long time history of the Israel people, of a great nation. Why? Because of God. And the grace now comes down, and it's all about grace, because what they have always stemmed on of, well, we're the Israelite people, we follow the law, now it's grace. It's grace. It's grace. Because Israel wanted to be righteous, right? They wanted to be these righteous people. But how righteous can people be? We have a hard time being right. We have a hard time being righteous. It's by grace. Israel as a whole wanted to be righteous. And Israel as a whole, then, they had this change. And this is when the change happened. But they're still the chosen people. Verse 7, what then? What Israel sought so earnestly, it did not obtain, but the elect did. The elect have attained it. The others were hardened, as it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes so that they could not see, and ears that so they could not hear. They were hardened. The Israel people, and we see it through Judges, and we see it through history of the Israeli people. And I was reading something, and they called it impervious, right? When you build a home today, and if you look out in the parking lot, and I think about it all the time now, that you look at building structures and all type of stuff, impervious. When you're building, even townships now, if you build a new church, or if you build a house, if you build a development, and you have to have so much pervious ground that can suck in the water because you're pavement, and that pavement, that's a perfect example of what the Israel people were hardened. Israel people are like the pavement out here. It's raining. It's raining today. Where's that water go? The water comes down, hits the pavement. It doesn't soak in. Kind of like the true meaning of what God talked about in Scripture wasn't soaking in to the Israeli people. They didn't believe it. They were hardened. And they were hardened for a purpose, which is another thing that's hard for us to understand. But the Israeli people were hardened for a purpose. So the water was coming down, just like today. And it's just sitting there, sitting on the pavement, running off, not getting into their spirit, not getting into their minds, not getting into their heart, not really understanding what the law talked about, and really not doing what Scripture tells us to do as people. It was just running off. They were impervious. It wasn't pervious. The water out there sitting on the pavement on an impervious driveway rolls right off and doesn't soak in. And that's kind of where this was. The gospel, Jesus Christ, grace, the salvation of Christ was given, and guess what? The Israeli people, first it came to them, right? And they didn't believe he was the Messiah. They didn't understand and didn't care at the point, because they thought Jesus was full of blasphemy, and they killed him. And all through that, it was impervious. Everything, the prophecies, everything that came to the Israeli people, they were hardened. They couldn't see it, but yet there was still a remnant that did see it. Paul being one of them after the fact, right? After the fact that Jesus died. So that impervious, it didn't soak in, and it didn't soak in, and God hardened them for what reason? That's the purpose that, I'm not glad, but I am glad. It's hard to say, right? I want all people to come to Christ. We want all Israelis to come to Christ. We want all Palestinians to come to Christ. We want all people to come to Christ. But if the Israelis wouldn't have been hardened, that wouldn't, the grace that Paul's talking about wouldn't have extended to us, to the Gentiles. Verse 11. Again, I asked, did the Israelis stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles, since they were impervious. That the plan was then for the Gentiles to have the salvation, the same as the Israeli people. It stemmed from the covenant, the Israeli people, now poured out onto Gentiles. So we get our salvation. The purpose was more people could get saved. More people outside of just the chosen people could be saved. And that then rolls into the church not being more important than Israel, not being more important than the chosen people of Israel, but that we are the Christian people, the Gentiles, the Hebrews that aren't Israelis, the Arabs who aren't Israelis, are Gentiles, but the Gentile people, those people that aren't Israelis, Israelites from the 12 tribes, that we can have salvation. That was the purpose of the hardening. Why did God choose the Israel nation, the people, through the faith of Abraham? Salvation then comes to us, which we know, is through our faith in Jesus Christ. But that does not void out Israel nation as the chosen nation, as a chosen people. So he asked, did they fall from recovery? He's like, no, they did not. Salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. But if their transgression means riches for the world and their loss means riches for the Gentiles, how much greater riches will their fullness bring? I am talking to the Gentiles, Paul says, inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles. Now it really focuses on the Gentile, the church. I make much of my ministry in the hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and save some of them. Paul, he's saying, I love my people Israel. I'm an Israeli. I love my people. I love the heritage, but they're hardened. They're blind. They're impervious. The water's coming down, laying on the pavement and isn't soaking through, just like it would on a nice, lush garden where if you look at your flower beds, the water soaks through. And that's where we are as Gentiles, that we were soaking it up. Why? Because we never had it. The Israeli people had all sorts of years and doctrine and the Torah and understanding of who God is, and the Gentiles, we were bounced all over between some false god here and some idol over there. And then all of a sudden we come face to face with the true God and understand now there's a Messiah who truly loves us and that we can actually get to heaven. We soaked it up, and the Gentiles then became grafted into the Israeli people, the Israeli line through that salvation. I know we're running out of time. Yeah, so I know I won't get to the other stuff. So Israel, Jacob, Israel, the church, that's how the church starts to fit in, as we know, through Jesus Christ. Our salvation is only through Jesus Christ. Israeli people's salvation is only through Jesus Christ. The Arabs, our only salvation is through Jesus Christ. Even the terrorist Hamas groups and groups that hate Israel, their way of only salvation is through Jesus Christ. all of us are wrapped into that. And God loves us all. Israel's still the chosen nation. But we can only have salvation through Jesus Christ. The world. That's it. There's a remnant still. And that's when Paul talked about Elijah. Elijah thought he was the only guy standing. I'm the only guy standing. They're even trying to kill me. Take care of these people. Get them out of here. He's like, whoa. God said, I have 7,000 that haven't bowed. How many do we have out there today? How many people out there today might be searching of who Jesus Christ is? How many people out there today need for us to continue to stand, to be a remnant, just like those kids in North Carolina, to make, they made a stand for the flag, but how about we make a stand for our faith? Hey, I see you having some problems. Can I pray for you? I understand there's some issues going on in your family. Do you need help? I understand that, you know, there is a situation, whatever it may be, and you were searching of who Jesus Christ might be. Can I answer any question? All those types of things that we just need to step out so many times and just ask people, pray for people, be there for people. That's the only, God loves people. Why? I don't know why he loves people, because I think we're kind of idiots, right? People can be frustrating. But God loves us. And salvation is only through Christ, through Jesus Christ, death on the cross, even for Israel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I know when I look through all the history and all the stuff with Israel and the chosen people and the tribes and Lord, and you know I'm a Gentile, and I read it, I see it, I can sometimes understand it, other times I don't understand it, and I struggle with what I see sometimes, and Lord, I just know you're God. I know that I am saved, Lord, through grace, through your salvation, your son, your death on the cross, your blood, and I know that's how I'm saved. Lord, I thank you for that. I can honestly say I don't understand how you can harden people, but you do, and you did that. So the Gentiles, me, dirty Gentile people, can understand grace and find salvation. Lord, you are an amazing God, and your workings, I don't understand all the time, and I try not to, but I just try to hold on to you and love you, because I know you love me. Lord, help us to communicate that love to other people, because we all know that our time is short here on earth. And one day we will be with you or not. And that's where we all go. Lord, help us to remember that. Thank you for today. Thank you for just the time that we can be together. Help us to remember and talk wisdom into people, love into people, encouragement of your salvation into people. Help us to remember that. In your name we pray. Amen.